You may have seen the joke before. You're not a true Wisconsinite unless you know how to pronounce Oconomowoc.
And that's not the only tongue twister here in the state. You've got Wauwatosa, New Berlin, not New Berlin, and don't forget Shawamigan-Nicolet National Forest. The list goes on.
As radio broadcasters, it's kind of our job to know this stuff, and we do need help from time to time. For many years, Harold Ingalls' book, Wisconsin Place Names, A Pronouncing Gazetteer, was a vital resource around here.
But there's nothing quite like hearing the correct pronunciation to really get it in your head. That's where former broadcaster Jackie Johnson came in. Back in 2005, she started a new website to help people say Wisconsin place names like a local. It's called mispronouncer.com. This year, the website is celebrating 20 years online, plus the state cartographer's office just released a new interactive map called Pronounce Wisconsin that uses Jackie's audio clips. Jackie Johnson is a former reporter anchor for Wisconsin Radio Network. She's the creator behind the website mispronouncer.com. And Joe Sammons is a professor of linguistics at UW-Madison and co-founder of the Center for the Study of Upper Midwestern Cultures. He co-edited the book Wisconsin Talk, Linguistic Diversity in the Badger State. Joe, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here.
And Jackie, thanks for being with us.
Oh, I'm glad to be here.
All right, Jackie, I was an early adopter of your website, Mispronouncer. I started here in 99. We had a book that we used for a lot of place name pronouncers. You came along in, I think, 2005 with Mispronouncer, and we loved it here. What led you to make these recordings of yourself saying Wisconsin place names and share them online with the world?
Oh, gee, I was really dedicated at that time. I don't know what came over me. It was a lot of work. But I was in broadcast radio doing the morning shift, and I was reading some AP, some wire copy, and sometimes a name of a city came across that I didn't recognize, and there was nobody around. You know, sometimes when you do the morning shift, there's no one else in the building. You know, you're the first one there sometimes. And so after a while, I thought, man, this can't keep happening regularly. I need to figure this out. I need to get some sort of guide. And I wasn't aware of that book that has some pronunciations in there. So I just compiled a list. I went through all the work and effort of calling people if I didn't know and put it all together.
And Jackie, we both work in radio or have worked in radio. This is an occupational hazard. And I know one time we had a new announcer give Waukesha instead of Waukesha. You hear about that, right? When you say somebody's town name wrong, they take umbrage.
Well, yes. And you know what? Sometimes when I watch local TV news or radio, and this is not a criticism of anybody per se, but if I hear a new broadcaster and they do say something like that, I kind of cringe and I think, well, it's not as though there's not a reference out there for them.
Now, Joe, you've done a lot of linguistic research looking at Wisconsin. What do you see as the value of a database like Mispronouncer and now Pronounce Wisconsin, which takes Jackie's work and puts it on a map?
Oh, it's huge. One of the things that we really want to understand these days is how, not just how language varies over space, how it varies from one place to another, but also how it changes over time. And these resources are great for seeing that and for being able to track it. I use it regularly in teaching. I'm teaching a course called Language in Wisconsin this semester, and I've got a bunch of students who are actually interested in place names, and they're already looking at it and looking at what how local pronunciations are different from what's recorded there and how things have changed over time.
Yeah, my grandpa is from Port Huron, Michigan, which he called till the end of his days Port Yorn, Michigan.
Yeah.
Jackie, did you run into a lot of contested pronunciations? I've heard arguments over Racine versus Racine, for example.
Yeah, I think that one is the biggest one. So Racine could be Racine, Racine, or Racine. In fact, I talked to some people who lived there for a long time, and they kind of assured me. They said, well, as long as you're somewhere in the middle, don't say Racine or Racine. Just kind of say it fast enough, and maybe no one will notice. But another big one that comes to mind is like Two Rivers. I mean, it's spelled like you can imagine, T-W-O-2 and then Rivers. But locals might say Trivers.
Sure. And Joe, how common is that? We may have an accepted pronunciation, but language happens in the real world.
It happens in the real world. In fact, the first time I ever used the place name Two Rivers was around somebody from Sturgeon Bay. And she stopped me in absolute horror and said, never say that, say Trivers. it changes and it varies a whole lot. So the small town in northern Wisconsin, Oulu, most people say now, was traditionally, it's a Finnish town named after a town in Finland, city in Finland, and it was traditionally pronounced Oulu. And there's still people in town who say it that way, but now it's mostly Oulu. And you have, I mean, examples like New Berlin for what was once upon a time Berlin or Berlin. And Prairie du Chien has the same kind of story as Two Rivers. There's an old traditional pronunciation. So I think that that really adds a lot of richness that we're seeing these variations and this change over time.
Jackie, do you have you had people argue with the pronunciations you've put online?
Yes and no. It was always a polite argument or maybe a suggestion or something like that. Once or twice. I mean, nothing major, but it definitely is the subject for conversation. And I see it even now on, you know, Facebook or other social media. You've got people talking about it and pointing to the website or making little videos when a sports team comes out of town. It comes from out of town. You know, you've seen those before.
Now, with something like Racine, I don't care how they say it, as long as they keep making the Kringle for me. But Jackie, yes. you have one that does bug you right at the top of your website. We are from the state of Wisconsin, not the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, I think that was always a big thing for me, long before I even thought of the idea for the website. People would say I would pick up on things. I'm a great observer, and I would listen to people talk. I would always watch the three major TV network news broadcasters. You remember Tom Brokaw, Peter Jennings. So I would hear people talk, but then randomly I'd hear people say Wisconsin, and it would just kind of get my goat.
We are talking about Wisconsin's unique place names and how to say them. Jackie Johnson is with us, the creator behind mispronouncer.com, and Joe Salmons, a linguist at UW-Madison and co-editor of a book called Wisconsin Talk. Well, Joe, I think one of the challenges of trying to say all these Wisconsin place names right is there's a lot of diversity in the languages that they came from and then the languages they were translated or interpreted to. Can you share some of that history behind our wide variety of place names?
It's just remarkably local. It changes almost every place you go. Almost every place name has its own different history. You see a lot of names that were a lot of the native names, indigenous place names in the state were first, of course, in French and then came into English. So you've got these really complicated patterns of transmission. You've got places that were named, given names in immigrant languages or indigenous languages, and those have changed over time. And because we have so many different languages and cultures that have made up the state historically, we do have that just more richness than almost any place in the country, I think, in terms of how many different sources we have.
So, Joe, hypothetically, we could have a pronunciation that's how, what, Polish immigrants pronounce the French translation of an Ojibwe word, right? I mean, it can be that complicated.
It can be that complicated, and it even gets more complicated. The famous case of the name of the state is the subject of a bunch of scholarly literature. There are articles about how Wisconsin came to be called Wisconsin and what it means. It looks like it was probably originally written with an M at the beginning, and somebody just misinterpreted it, wrote it as a W, and so it changed in that way. And there's a lot of literature about it came from one of the Algonquian languages. A lot of people say Ojibwe, some people say Miami, Illinois. And it's just hard to tell because of that complicated transmission. It was first attested in French, then it came into English, and of course, through lots of different other communities with different kinds of speech.
Interesting. Now, I promised I'd share some of mine. I mentioned this on the air the other day. Oregon, not the state of Oregon, but the Wisconsin town of Oregon, is one that puts me into this feedback loop of second-guessing myself. Jackie, that one, I mean, it's pretty easy to denote how to pronounce that. Is that one you've encountered people stumbling over?
Yes, and I kind of smirked when you said that because not just people, quote-unquote, but me, myself. I have to think about it. I pause. I have to pause before I say that one, too.
All right. And this is a pretty common thing, Joe, where you mentioned we've got Berlin, not Berlin. You heard me pause there. This seems like pretty often that you'd have that expected accent and it swaps for some reason in that local name.
Yeah, what happens is over time, as the language is being used in a community change, people's pronunciation habits change. And there was, of course, a long time in that part of the state, German was very widely spoken, not just by people who came or whose families came from Germany, but a lot of Anglo-Americans and others learned German. And so they knew German pronunciations and they used German pronunciations. But as that faded away, people have shifted slowly to using more and more English pronunciations. And where the history is deeper, where the language is further away, like in the case of French in Wisconsin, you get pronunciations that are really very far from French. I mean, Lake Butamore is just, if you say that to a French person, they're typically amused.
Well, there's one that derives from French. That's another Rob stumbling block. Lac de Flambeau, I think I just nailed it. But in the moment, live on the air, I start thinking, Lac de Flambeau. No, it's Lac de Flambeau. Jackie, that's one of those French ones. I'm, again, notoriously bad at anything French. Is this a common stumbling block, those French origin names?
Yes, and Fond du Lac.
Yeah, people want to do Fond du Lac.
Yes, yes.
All right, I got one, Joe, a mystery for me. The case of the missing A, I'm talking about Shawano, Wisconsin. Mm. You look at it, it looks like a three-syllable word, Shawano. This stymied me for a long time. Joe, what happened? Where'd that syllable go?
It's just perfectly normal pattern of English. It's an unstressed syllable, and so you just lose it. It's a Menominee name. It's a Menominee word. It's the word that means, in modern Menominee, Shawano means south or southern. The town is actually named after a Menominee leader. There are two people with the same name, so we don't know for sure which one. But it got adapted into English that way, with that unstressed syllable being lost. And it's definitely one of the confusing ones for newcomers.
It's perfectly normal. Nothing to see here.
Now, Jackie, in your work on Mispronouncer, I'm guessing you've talked to a lot of people around the state, trying to confirm pronunciations, things like that. Do people take a lot of pride, and do people have a lot of strong opinions about how to say their local place names?
Yes, they do. And when I first created the site, that's what I did, is I talked to a lot of people, whether I called them on the phone or visited locals. And, you know, obviously a lot of them I knew because I grew up in the state in various cities. And I worked in radio for 30 plus years. So, you know, you just listen to people, you pay attention. And a lot of people were proud to tell me about their city, how it's pronounced, and how other people don't know enough to pronounce it accurately. I mean, you get all these stories, and it's nice. It's nice to hear. But as you stated earlier, even to this day, once in a while, someone will contact me and say, wait a minute, I have a disagreement with that one there.
And Joe, I know at various points in U.S. history there have been efforts to record people talking, right, in their languages of origin and their unique accents. Do we have a good, I guess, geology? Can we go back through time and see how the accent has changed?
Yes, indeed. We have the great Frederick Cassidy, who started the Dictionary of American Regional English, did recordings around Wisconsin in 1950 and 51. And a lot of those recordings were of older people. People did oral history recordings starting in the 1940s in various languages and in English. And so we've got lots of stuff. We've got old recordings of Cornish people from Mineral Point and on and on. So we've got lots of that, and we can go back. The recordings are good enough that we can actually do phonetic analysis of them and see how things have changed. And of course, like Jackie says, people talk a lot about place names, about where they're from, where they've moved to, and so forth. So that's a pretty prominent part of the record.
Jackie, Mispronouncer just had its 20th birthday. Now we've got that new map from the State Cartographer's Office featuring your voice. What's it like now, 20 years in, to have your voice be representing the place names of Wisconsin?
Well, it's really awesome, and it's an honor. And I think the folks at the Cartographer's Office, they've done a very good job, and they're always tweaking it and revising it. And I'm really proud to see that. But to be quite honest, every once in a while when I go back and I listen to one of the names, I thought, oh, that's nice, nice job. And then I listen to another one. Oh, my gosh, that's terrible. I really need to re-record that. I always want to re-record everything I've ever done.
We'll leave it there. Jackie, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
And Joe, thanks for being with us.
I really enjoyed it.
That was Jackie Johnson, former radio broadcaster and the creator of MissPronouncer.com, and Joe Sammons, a linguist at UW-Madison. We've been talking about Wisconsin's place names and how language and pronunciation evolves over time as MissPronouncer marks its 20th anniversary this year.